And this is our number
two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I'm still laughing at the quote you just had from...
From whom?
Dow Constantine. So he said that Howard Schultz running as a centrist independent would ruin the election?
Basically, by giving Trump another term.
Well, yeah. How come he didn't speak out against the Green Party candidate last year? Why didn't he speak out against any of the Communist Party? There was a Communist Party candidate. I didn't hear Dow Constantine speaking out against any other third-party candidates last time.
Well, I think it's because now it's President Trump, clearly.
Oh, man.
I'm just speaking for him.
Running as a centrist independent would ruin the election. That is hilarious. I still get tips and emails all the time from people who tell me they are King County Sheriff's deputies about the security at Dow Constantine's house. And we had the sheriff in here, Mitzi Johanknik. I got from an incredible source that I trust 100% that until sometime recently, if it's not still happening, Dow Constantine used King County Sheriff's deputies as his personal Uber and would go out to bars at night and go to other events. And I have cops who tell me all the time that he has security that has to sit outside of his house. And Mitzi Johanknik denied it when she was in the studio, but I know from a source I trust 100% that if it's not still going on, it just stopped recently. That I mean, and I get why Dow Constantine wants to keep up the the two-party system and make sure that he is unimpeded in the local politics, because that's a good gig. You get personal security sitting outside your house, and you get to use cops as your personal Uber. And another officer told me that Dow would badge his way in to concerts like U2, where he would just have a cop flash the badge, and he would be escorted into concerts. It's, I get why he doesn't want to upset the apple cart the way it is right now. Hey, speaking of which... the president, he sends out those tweets all the time.
Really?
Yeah, he likes the Twitter. And there was one last week that I know all the late night talk shows, he was talking about when he fed the Clemson football kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he misspelled hamburger and it came out hamburger. And everybody made fun of it because sometimes Trump will have a misspelling or he'll have a grammar issue. And it's fair game. Should we do the same thing with Jay Inslee's tweets?
Sure.
Okay. Jay Inslee, he tweeted a picture of him and Slick Watts, the former Sonics legend. And the caption is that Jay Inslee wrote, "Slick Watts and I back in 2012 at a Bring Back Our Sonics rally." Hey, Governor, we got kids who look up to you for grammar. And we got English teachers who are trying to overcome grammar issues like that. It's not Slick Watts and I back in 2012. It's me. Me. So let's watch the grammar there. If we're going to spell check the prez, let's make sure we do the same thing with the governor here. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, we've talked a lot about how horrible things have gotten down in Burien. And we had the two teenage girls who were murdered more than a year ago now. Their killers remain loose on the run. And that was a case where there were 50 to 100 people in this yard, many of them gang-related. And the idea that nobody knows who the shooter is stretches credulity. But nobody has ratted out the murder of those two teenage girls. We have an innocent receptionist who was hit by a stray bullet and killed down in Burien. The gang problem is rampant. Citizens wanted to make it at least have a vote on making it a non-sanctuary city, and the politicians got a judge to throw that out. Now we've got another very sad story, another Burien kid, 14-year-old Andy Isidoro, and you may remember his story. He was, and there were a lot of like random shootings on Highway 509, and I mean, I don't know if there have been any recently, but I know for months there were just occasionally random shots fired.
Right. And there have not been recent arrests, but they talked about creating a task force. There's a new task force that police departments in the area are, you know, taking it very seriously, and they want to get to the bottom of it because it's only a matter of time before someone actually is hurt.
Well, this
actually,
kid,
someone was hurt.
Yeah, this kid.
Yes.
Andy, he's 14 years old. He was coming back from church with his family last month when he was shot in the head. And he talked for the first time since the incident to Channel 4. It's at ComoNews.com. And they heard the thwack against the side of their van, first of all.
And we all thought it was just a piece of rock.
But then he quickly told his mom that he couldn't open his eyes.
And then I told my mom, I can't open my eyes.
And now he's blind. He requires round-the-clock care. He says that he's just trying to relearn life.
Because I'm not used to being a blind person.
And he does say that he forgives the shooter, whoever it is.
I do want to say that I forgive them.
Sounds like a sweet kid. But this is just an extension of how that city has gotten so wildly out of control. And
well, there have been 11 separate shootings. Or maybe
is that many?
More. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was that many.
Threatening, 509 drivers.
Unbelievable. Okay, next up in the fastest 15. So am I wrong to be all ticked off about all these tunnel events this weekend?
Yeah, probably.
Why don't they just open the tunnel?
Bring us together.
Exactly. Thank you, Nicole. Yes.
They're 3 years behind schedule. What are we celebrating here? That they're only 3 years behind schedule?
No, it's just fun. Something fun to do.
So they're doing...
I mean, I'm not doing it, but something fun to do.
But you know how much it's costing us?
The end of an era and the start of a new one.
It's costing us a fortune so they can throw these self-congratulatory parties about only being 3 years behind schedule and who knows how many hundreds of millions or billions of dollars over budget. And so they're going to have a fun run this weekend.
They can't. People are paying to do all this stuff, so they can't be that.
Well, expensive. No, there are a bunch of free events, too.
Which are probably being offset by some of the fees that you're
having
to pay.
I'm more upset about their marketing campaign. That's a waste of money.
Yeah, the $4.4 million that they're spending.
Yeah, there's enough free advertising, even on our station and every station, because we're constantly covering the tunnel.
I just, it's just an extension of how self-congratulatory these... Yeah, it's like when Sound Transit opened that Husky Stadium station, and they spent $1 million or so on that party. They were more than 10 years behind schedule. Just open the darn thing.
Do you think there should be any public celebrations about whether it's, you know, the Space Needle or the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl?
Space Needle is private.
Yeah, or let's just say things that you know, people can be proud of, and I know you're gonna say not the tunnel, and I get that, but do you think any public celebrations should be
The Seahawk one was fun.
I mean, not everyone got to take part in it.
Ooh, but that was amazing.
But they won the Super Bowl, and they accomplished
I think they should have
accomplished their goals. Yeah. I mean, these people 3 years behind, hundreds of millions of...
But the people who are going to attend are not attending to say, hey, good job, you're 3 years late and $500 million over budget. That's not what they're going there.
You know our Twitter friend, Matt?
Yeah.
Who, by the way, I can't believe Matt doesn't have more followers, because he's the funniest guy I know on Twitter. So he sent me a tweet, and he's running the Tunnel to Viaduct 8K tomorrow. And I guess runners, they have like chants they do, mantras, so that they can stay on pace. And so he was asking for suggestions here. And by the way, congratulations, Matt, for calling the tunnel by its correct name, the Dory Hole.
Also, and if you're going to give him a shout out, you should tell him how to find him on Twitter.
Well, yeah, he was Matt Gilbert. Then he changed it a week ago to Matt Zimbabwe. By the way, so what's the update on Sam Zimbabwe? I thought he was going to come on by the end of the week.
They're ghosting on me a little bit.
Are they?
I'm going to give them a little bit longer because it's his first week on the job.
But he personally, and if people don't know what we're talking about, the new director of Seattle DOT, we broke the story a week ago.
The story.
Yeah, it's a big story that he changed. He changed his name. He was Sam Zimmerman Bergman, and then he became Zimbabwe so he could climb the political ladder
The latter part is what you have come up with.
So anyway, Matt.
I'll get to that. But Sam Zimbabwe personally emailed you.
He did.
A few days ago on Monday and said, yeah, I'll give this to my communications person. And then the communications person, I thought they were going to get Zimbabwe on the show by the end of the week.
Well, she said she'd get back to me by the end of the week so we could work something out.
Okay.
But it wasn't a no. There you go.
Wasn't a no.
Okay. Mr. Zimbabwe.
Haven't lost hope.
And here's the thing. Here's what I truly hope comes out of. First, I want to figure out the whole name thing because that's very weird to me. But then once we get past that, I want a new era of relations between the Dory Monson Show and the Seattle Department of Transportation.
Oh, and that's what I sold them on.
And
that's what I'm trying to get.
That.
Said we would like to restart this relationship.
Yes.
That would be reason to celebrate.
Yes, exactly. I want to have some open communications. I will offer some of my brilliant insights. They'll get this region moving again. And we'll be friendly. So, but I got to get past this name thing because it's just weird to me that a grown man changes his name to Zimbabwe, which was being run by the murderous dictator Robert Mugabe and had a transportation system that was the jewel of Africa. And then under Mugabe's terroristic regime, it has become a completely dysfunctional transportation system. So I just want to find out why he changed his name to Zimbabwe. Anyway, so Matt on Twitter, he was Matt Gilbert, then he changed to Matt Zimbabwe, and then last night he changed his Twitter name. He's now Matt Give Dory a Blue Checkmark.
Gilbert,
yeah.
But his handle is actually at Matt
Gilbeasley. Yeah. So anyway, so he's coming up with some chants when he runs the tunnel to Viaduct 8K tomorrow through the Dory Hole. A couple that he's come up with is 3 years late, billions in waste. Another one, underground while King County pollutes the sound. That doesn't have a nice rhythm to it. he's talking about how they've reduced the capacity from 3 lanes in every direction to 2. 2 is less than 3 with no view of the sea. That's pretty good. Is that helpful when you're on a long run to have chants like that?
Maybe. I bet. Keep the pace.
Highway 99 is a crime. And then his final one. Hey, hey, ho, ho. Listen to the Dory Monson Show. All right. Hey, Matt, I appreciate you trying, man. I really do.
I don't know if you sold it. He is really funny.
He's very funny. It's just not funny when it's in my hands.
I got a rhyme about the tunnel.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just made it up right now. You ready?
Yeah.
The Seattle Tunnel. It's a funnel. Right? Very clean. I got nothing.
I'm stunned by the genius of it.
Right.
The simplistic genius.
If only I had a car to drive through the Dory Hole.
Why not?
That's what you wanted, isn't it?
That's what I wanted. You work better, Blue. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So the Howard Schultz event was at the Moore Theater last night, and the Indivisible District 8 group. They are the Democratic group over there on the east side. They're upset about Howard Schultz being an independent.
Pick a party! Pick a party!
Pick a party. Come on, Matt Gilbert could come up with something better than that. And they, Sammamish resident and activist, Paula Harper.
Historically, we just have to look at what happened with Ross Perot, Ralph Nader, Jill Stein, and the devastating impact that that had on the on a presidential election.
Why are people so against freedom of thought and choice? I mean, what Howard Schultz says is the Democratic Party, he's been a Democrat his whole life, and he said the party has left him. They are now in the hands of the Marxist socialist, you know, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world. And he says they've just lost him. They're talking about, you know, Bernie Sanders was talking today about 70% tax rate again. Another Democrat today floated a 90% top tax rate. It goes on and on. The head of the state Democratic Party is Tina Podlodowski.
I think you're confused with your genuine desire to try to do good in the world with the fact that you know absolutely nothing about politics and government.
Okay. As if either party, Democrat or Republican, tries to do good in the world. I don't buy it. You have no more moral, you know, high ground if you're a member of either party than if you're an independent. And
how much do you think that message of, you know, finally kind of addressing the big, big group in the middle? I mean, where both parties have just gone to such extremes.
I'm not convinced that he would hurt the Democrats more than he would hurt Trump. Because, I mean, if he's serious about reducing the deficit, I could vote for him. That's what I care about. Although, man.
One of the things that he said, just Dory, real quick, inside the theater, he addressed some of the concerns that were being, you know, screamed outside the theater. And one of them is that he said he has, you know, once he kind of gauges everything, and of course he's going to be doing polling at the end of all this.
Right.
And he doesn't have to answer to any political groups or any, you know, any.
Yeah.
Basically, because he can just fund his own campaign.
He can self-fund it, yeah.
But he said if he were to see that he would do damage and get President Trump reelected, he would not run. Is what he said.
I truly think that if people's top priorities are economy and the deficit, he could attract some Trump voters. I would be very open minded about him. So I'm not convinced that he would just hurt the Democrats. But let's have more ideas out there, because the two parties is not working that great in America. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Down in the legislative session in Olympia, there is a bill that's been introduced that would ban dwarf tossing in our state. I'm going to talk with the president of the Puget Sound chapter of the Little People of America about that coming up next. You may have heard about a bill that has been proposed in Olympia that would ban dwarf tossing in our states. I didn't know how prevalent this was, and do we need the government to step in on something like this? Dina Harris is with the, she's the Puget Sound chapter president of the Little People of America, and she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Dina, pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So how prevalent is this, the dwarf tossing? I heard a lot about, and let me also figure out about the, what we call it, because is dwarf an acceptable word in your community? Or because I know that it kind of moved from little people. I know that midget is not acceptable. What kind of phrases are acceptable to you guys?
Well, I mean, of course, the first thing is that anybody that is has dwarfism would like to just be called by their name.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
By who they are as a human being and not a label.
Yes.
However, if you are looking for appropriate terminology, a person with dwarfism, a little person, or someone of short stature,
yeah,
those are all completely acceptable.
Got it. Okay. All right. And this is being called a dwarf-tossing bill. How prevalent is it? How often do these events take place? Because I heard about it a lot 20 years ago. I haven't heard much about it recently.
It's resurfacing.
Okay.
It's something that's making a resurgence, especially in our state. There seems to be a ramp up in activity of it.
Okay.
And in the last year, to my knowledge, there have been four events held in our state in the last year.
And are they at bars generally, or what's the venue?
The venue is typically either a bar or an adult club, such as Deja Vu.
Okay, got it. So I want to make sure that my image of what happens isn't some kind of a stereotype. What actually happens at these events?
Typically, the consenting little person is, it can be one of a number of things. They are either put in a Velcro suit and hurled across the room to be landed on a Velcro wall, or there can be air mattresses put down and they're harnessed up and sort of hurled around and thrown in a sort of a shot put manner.
Okay. I mean, just
to land on the mattresses.
As you describe this, it just sounds hideous to me. I mean, the fact that some people find watching that entertaining is, it's just unimaginable to me. I just don't know why anybody would get any kick or joy out of watching that.
I share your sentiments exactly. Unfortunately, dwarfism is the one difference that it's still socially acceptable to make fun of.
Yeah, I got you.
And, you know, like I said in my testimony yesterday in front of the committee, if we were to remove the word dwarf and insert another marginalized group in that slot, and we were saying gay tossing or Muslim tossing,
right,
or black tossing, and those are hard words for me to say out loud. It makes me nauseous even just saying those words. But if it were any of those, the outcry would be deafening.
So, well,
but because it's people with dwarfism, it's just fun. We're just having fun. It's all in good fun.
And here's my take. While I wouldn't enjoy this and why I don't understand how other people enjoy it, do we need government to be involved? Because I think that stripping is rather dehumanizing for women. And I find it to be something that, you know, it just objectifies women. But it's not illegal. And if an adult woman wants to get up and take her clothes off, we let her do that. Why, if an adult little person wants to get thrown, why do we need government to step in on that?
A couple of reasons. First of all, is that when that adult stripper leaves that strip club and she goes to the mall, no one knows that she's a stripper. But when a little person is a little person, they can't change what they look like. And they are classified and they are categorized and they are immediately equated to every other little person out there.
Wait,
so by virtue of what they look like, there isn't differentiation.
Let me play a quick soundbite for my listeners on Cairo 7 News. They talked to a guy who does get tossed. He goes by the name Mighty Mike Murdahl.
40 to 70 tosses a night. Have fun. Next city. Rock and roll. Like, I've been to Washington like 7-8 times, and I never had the issues. So, and now all of a sudden it's a problem.
And he says that he's using his differences as a positive.
I am 4 4'3", 118 pounds. I'm participating because it's funding me my living. I get to travel across Canada and the United States doing this. I just like the danger of life and just like to experiment with things. We have different spines. We have shorter legs. So we have, you know, we have some difficulties born with. And I've learned to take these difficulties and make the best of them.
So, again, Dina, he's an adult. He chooses to be part of this. You know, why stop him? He's making money. He says he's having fun.
Well, because he's fueling a stereotype. And when little people spend every single day fighting to be taken seriously, that's counterproductive. And he is setting a tone for what is acceptable behavior to him, but not to other little people. And people every single day cross boundaries when it comes to people with dwarfism. Now, let me clarify something.
Sure.
I'm average height. I am not a little person. I am the custodial grandmother of a 12-year-old boy who is an achondroplastic dwarf.
Okay.
So every single day, we deal with something in the community. When he went to a place to get his hair cut at 11 years old, sitting in the chair, the woman who was supposed to be cutting his hair was too busy patting his face, telling him how cute he is. She would have never done that to an average height person.
Yeah, but that's a reflection on her.
Pictures.
That's not a reflection.
But, you know, but I'm going to argue with you. Pictures, videos, inappropriate questions, patting on the head.
Right.
All of the things that little people every single day fight to be taken seriously. And then when stuff like this, when it's up on a billboard and there's YouTube videos out there, it fuels and perpetuates hate. I mean, I posted a comment on Como News Facebook page last week just saying, you know what? Before 12 years ago, I didn't get it either. I was average height. I didn't understand. I'm here now. I would never have been exercised the hate that I'm seeing in the comments on these Facebook pages, but I get it that many of you don't understand. Take a minute to educate yourself. And here's a website, visit understandingdwarfism.com and help, you know, help take a minute to understand the difference that you're making a mockery of.
Well, no, wait now. Hold on. I'm not making any mockery of this, and I've already told you that I find it to be a detestable entertainment activity. I just believe that we have free will in our society, and if adults choose to participate in that, I just don't know. And like I said, I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't have a grandchild who's experiencing that, but I also, you know, I just tend to believe in limited government and the free choice, free will of adults more than government having to step in on everything.
Well, understood. And I guess if you want to go down that road, like you talked about stripping, prostitution is a perfect example. That is free will of somebody that wants to sell their body. And decency and public safety outweigh the desire and will of a willing participant.
I have enjoyed and appreciate talking with you about this. I'm going to reach out to my listeners and get their comments, see what they think about all this. But I appreciate you coming on and sharing all that with me, Dina.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All my best. Dina Harris, she is the chapter president, Puget Sound chapter of the Little People of America. And I would love to hear what you have to say. Should the state get involved with this law? You can text me. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. One of the big stories of the week has been this effort to move to infanticide in the bluest of states. And so New York earlier this week, and you know, we've talked about this a lot because I can't believe I've talked more about abortion as an issue this week than I have in the last 24 years combined, I think, because it's not an issue that I think people are very flexible on. But what's happened this week has turned, you know, even a lot of pro-choice people nauseous about what some parties are doing. So what the Democrat Party's doing. So New York passed a third trimester abortion bill. Virginia had a bill introduced by a state rep that would, if the mom is in labor and dilating, they could still kill the baby, which is shocking. So the Washington Post has a headline today. Until this week, Delegate Kathy Tran was known for nursing her daughter on the House floor. Now Republicans are calling her a baby killer. And then I read the article. It didn't have one quote from Kathy Tran's testimony to explain. It's not just Republicans who are calling her a baby killer. As I said, there are a lot of pro-choice people who say, yeah, this is so radical and so nauseating because, I mean, again, here's what she said.
How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay. But to the end of the third trimester.
Yep. I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So, where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, she has physical signs that she is about to give a birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
make
that.
At that
I'm
point.
Asking if your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
Okay. And so the Washington Post whitewashes this with, now Republicans are calling her a baby killer. Why didn't they include that quote in the article at all? And by the way, you know who predicted all of this stuff? During the presidential campaign, this was an issue that came up between Trump and Hillary. I'll play you that audio in the big lead at 2 coming up here. I'm also going to talk to the woman who scaled the wall of the California governor's mansion and got arrested for that. It's all coming up next.